Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. There was an elderly man who had begun spending a significant time with an elderly woman. Neither had ever married, and each had lived alone for many years. Gradually, the old gentleman recognized a real attachment to her. But he was shy and afraid to reveal his feelings to her. After many days of anxiety and fear, he finally mustered up the courage to declare his intentions. He went over to her home and, in a nervous frenzy, blurted out, "Let's get married." Surprised, she threw up her hands and shouted, "It's a wonderful idea, but who in the world would have us?" Feelings are powerful. The elderly gentleman was so excited about his decision, he did not slow down and consider all he could say before he proposed to her. And she, with her rush of emotion, did not realize he was talking about her. Feelings are powerful sensations. They can inhibit our ability to think. They can be so strong that one feeling can overshadow others, as in overwhelming excitement, joy, anxiety, fear, sadness. Our feelings can be protective and reveal the pain of misunderstanding and the need to pull in. And our feelings can lead us outward with a sense of strength to stand firm. We hear of feelings in our readings today. In fact, in the psalm we just sang, the second verse, or is it the third? No. He saves the righteous in their need, for when they cry, the Lord will hear. Those crushed in spirit he will save. The brokenhearted he is near. And we heard in the Ephesians passage, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Now, given the exchange in the gospel, I wondered about the feelings of Jesus. What was it like for Jesus when he was misunderstood? When he saw troubled expressions, people walking away? What did Jesus feel when things got tense, when the disciples pushed back? And what was Jesus feeling when he pushed back? And how did he feel when nobody seemed to understand his invitation to be food for the journey of life? And so he said in today's gospel, "Does this offend you?" And then Jesus strengthened his position by saying, "The words that I have spoken are spirit and life." But his graphic description of himself as nourishment did not go over well. And Jesus felt the tension, sensed who believed him and who did not. So this passage feels like a sad moment for Jesus. As we heard, many turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God." What a default answer from Simon Peter. But sometimes the last choice is in fact the best choice. In the new world order of Jesus Christ, the last shall be first. And throughout his ministry, Jesus taught new rules and offered himself as the way to live life at a higher energy level of love in the flow of grace. The very first sentence of Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled, is, "Life is hard." Jesus knew and experienced life is hard, and offered himself as our spiritual resource. Day after day, Jesus proclaimed what had never been taught before, that he had come into the world to bring us not only strength to live life with hope and love, but to continue into an eternal life. And he declared, "The one who eats this bread will live forever." So I wonder, how do you feel that Jesus offers himself to us as food and drink? Do you fully appreciate and understand this offer? As we heard in the gospel, many did not understand and rejected him. And it seems true for today. A population is growing of non-believers. And in this 21st century, what used to be a given, that people had religion, we now have a slogan: "I am spiritual but not religious." So here you are, sitting in church on a Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, as I drive here, I pray for you. I pray that God blesses each of you with the grace you most need, especially with a sense of how much God loves you, and that what Jesus offers may grow in you. Yet, if and when you question any part of your Christian faith, if you question any part of your Christian faith, let's talk about it. You never need to hide your feelings here in this St. Francis family. We are all over the map on any sense of clarity or purpose, and that is okay. God loves us not for what we do or say, but because we are. This church is a guilt-free zone. No matter your feelings about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, our rituals, our fundraisers, whatever your feelings about anything, you are welcome here. Which leads me back to Jesus. I want to know how Jesus handled difficult moments of people's questions, of misunderstanding, of rejection, and bewilderment. Because we all face these experiences too. Even though the 12 apostles stayed, they stuck around because they did not know where else to go. That is not really choosing because you are excited about the next adventure. They chose because they were as bewildered as the crowd. The crowd was remembering that amazing feeding of the 5,000. That was something else. But then there were leftovers, 12 baskets. But in this gospel, everyone is past remembering the leftovers. It is time to make a choice. And Jesus was offering himself as food. So everyone around Jesus was dealing with their feelings, with decision making, and probably with peer pressure. And their feelings were all over the map. A few believed, but most did not. Can you imagine the impact of negative energy? Jesus was not blind or insensitive, and he must have been feeling their feelings. He noticed it all. The body language, the tone of the questions, and then that default answer of Simon Peter. To whom can we go? How did these events affect Jesus? Did they ever get to him? Sometimes things happen to us that get to us, and our feelings cannot be ignored. We are distracted. How do we stay focused on what really matters? What are the spiritual and psychological tools? The grace that will lead us home. We hear several answers today. We hear the gospel message, Jesus is our food for the journey. And the epistle, be strong in Jesus, in his strength. And we heard Simon Peter's answer, Lord, to whom can we go? And that might be our answer too. Simon Peter, though, went on to say, these followers of Jesus had come to believe and to know that Jesus was the Holy One of God, and it was a long process. All they went through, all the stress, all the anxiety, was because they had engaged what really matters, answers to why we are here. In all four Gospels, we hear how hard this journey is and was. They were stretched and they were transformed. They probably could hardly handle all the variety of feelings they experienced and all they witnessed of Jesus. But it all led to a new identity and influenced how they lived the rest of their lives. And this new identity we call being a Christian. The second reading presents the demands of our Christian identity to be strong and stand firm. This passage uses the metaphor of putting on the full armor of God to stand firm against all that would take us down. Even if feelings of anxiety or fear, misunderstanding or rejection overwhelm us, Jesus offers spiritual resources. Spiritual resources that strengthen us to stay alert to evil and injustice. During the 27 years of incarceration, Nelson Mandela became discouraged. But he found strength to hope. He stood firm in his convictions. But such spiritual struggle requires discipline. We must prepare ourselves inwardly and prayerfully for the outer struggles. Struggle may be seen as an opportunity for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth may be seen in hope and resiliency, in faith and doubt, in prayer and play, in acts of boldness and justice, and in the acts of kindness and compassion of this St. Francis family. As family, may we never be shy or afraid to share our feelings and our questions, especially the feelings that lead us to stand firm in our Christian convictions. And may each of us come to believe in a new phrase, "I am too blessed to be stressed." I am too blessed to be stressed. Amen.